A missing body this time on Culture File and an absent memorial. Charles Maturin was a Dublin-born writer of Gothic fictions, best known then and now for Melmoth the Wanderer from 1820, his novel about a figure ensnared in one of those mysterious contractual obligations stickier than a Netflix account. Although Melmoth drew the attention of the 19th century literary world from Balzac to Oscar Wilde, its Dublin author is still lacking a permanent place of honour in the city. The latest edition of the Swan River Press's journal The Green Book marks Maturin's 200th anniversary this Halloween by bringing together new and old writing on Charles Maturin. Cuiva Lavelle took a wander with the Green Book's editor, Brian J. Showers, through what's left of Maturin's Dublin.
Where to mark the soul of the wanderer? Charles Maturin, whose remains are somewhere, most probably in a storage unit.
My name is Brian J. Showers, and I've been running Swan River Press for the past 20 years. We focus mainly on literature of the supernatural and strange. Oftentimes it's contemporary writers that we publish, but sometimes we also tend to look a bit further back. In about 2013, I started a journal called The Green Book, which was sort of meant as a repository for some of the bits that I was finding during research that I wasn't really able to put into a proper volume.
I met with Brian J. Showers to do the only thing which Maturin admirers really have to connect with him, that is, beyond reading him. What we propose is a short walk, the same path he would have taken to and from work on a daily basis.
When I was putting together issue 23 of the Green Book last spring, a friend brought it to my attention that this autumn is Charles Maturin's 200th death anniversary. I thought it'd be a good time to maybe see what there was that I could maybe publish in the issue that would maybe commemorate him in some way. Maturin during his lifetime was celebrated, perhaps just briefly, as a playwright. He had written a play called Bertram, which had proven to be very successful in London. The novel that he's probably best known for today is Melmoth the Wanderer, which was published in 1820. The Gothic novel at that time was passing out of fashion. Jane Austen famously parodied the Gothic novel with Northanger Abbey in 1817, and Melmoth would have come along in 1820, just 3 years later. The piece that I found was a short sketch by the poet James Clarence Mangan, and it was published in the 1840s. It was part of a series of sketches that he was writing at the time. As I was going through it, I realized how much of the modern perception of Maturin, if people have a perception of him at all, comes from this article. Mangan gives us a sketch of an eccentric writer, which is more or less how he was viewed. He was known for having peculiar habits. Whether these are anecdotal or not, I couldn't say, but he seemed to have a fondness for dancing. He also seemed to dress in peculiar clothing. One of the more famous stories, which may well be apocryphal, is that he would paste a communion wafer to his forehead to show that he was deep in thought and that he was not to be disturbed while writing. Towards the end of the piece, Mangan wonders, again, this was in the 1840s, about 20 years after Maturin died, he wondered where he might go to pay respects to the great writer. And he had no idea. He didn't know where to go, and he had no idea where Maturin was buried. Now, it turns out that Maturin was buried very centrally, in St. Peter's Churchyard on Ainger Street. He was the curate of St. Peter's right up until he died in 1824.
We set off from St. Luke's, the Coombe, where the bones of Charles Maturin briefly rested. We strolled then to the site of St. Peter's, where Maturin worked as a curate. In St. Peter's Lane, all there was to see was a gated alleyway full of bins, and two are left at our feet, a deceased pigeon.
Over the course of the summer, I was working with another scholar, Fergal O'Reilly, and ended up commissioning from him a piece on Maturin's life, and in particular his death. Fergal really investigated what had happened after Maturin had died, the trajectory from St. Peter's to St. Luke's to eventually an anonymous storage unit. Where Mangan's piece is a little more sensational, highlighting Maturin's eccentricities, I think Fergal's piece is a bit more grounded. He seems to have found his birthplace on Camden Street, which I hadn't realized before, and it gives some insight into the conditions Maturin was living under and why he was writing. Today, if you were to go looking for St. Peter's in Ainger Street, you won't find it. It was knocked down a number of decades ago. And the churchyard where Maturin was buried went along with it. An excavation crew was brought in and the headstones were removed. Now, by then, the headstones were completely eroded. The names were gone. The ground had shifted.
We strolled around to what would have been the front of St. Peter's, where now stands the YMCA. It had been coated in a thick layer of egg, which is customary this time of year. Then down York Street, where the Victorian pub The Swan was bustling, we spotted a mural to Maturin's great-grandnephew, Oscar Wilde. His mother, the poet Lady Wilde, also known as Speranza, revered Charles Maturin. This was although he died when she was very young. His memory had still made a huge impression on her. Oscar, as well, went by the name Melmoth in his last exiled days in Paris. On we strolled to the Stephen's Green end of York Street, where we were met by shiny buildings and a sea of white lab coats from the Royal College of Surgeons, which straddles this end of York Street today.
You won't find a plaque or even a building to put a plaque on. St. Peter's is gone, and Maturin's houses. He lived in two on York Street. They were also pulled down and developed. The Royal College of Surgeons now sits on the site where Maturin's homes were. It's a shame that we don't have a place to put a plaque or anywhere to mark the memory of this Gothic writer.
Quiva Lavelle there on the trail of Charles Maturin. And you heard also from Brian J. Showers. The Green Book 24 is available now from swanriverpress.ie.